a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I'm Deb Peters, State Senator, District 9. I represent Hartford, Humboldt, Crooks, Wall Lake, and the northwest corner of Sioux Falls. I chair the Appropriations Committee, and we're in crunch time right now. So that's kind of where I'll focus a little bit of time and energy on. I heard that you had talked a little bit about the budget process and in the previous press conference, and I just want to kind of lay out the way the next week is going to work, or at least the way it should work, and hopefully we don't fall off the track. We are starting on wrapping up spending bills. The House and the Senate Appropriations Committee has got bill hearings this morning. They're actually going on right now, and they will continue on Monday morning with some of the final spending bills to get out of committee. That will push to the floor Monday and Tuesday. At that point, then we start Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday conference committee process on spending bills. Monday morning at 8 a.m., we will hear the budget. The revenue estimates. Budget revenue estimates will be delivered in the public from 8 to 10. The subcommittee from the Appropriations Committee for Revenue will pick revenue numbers Monday evening or afternoon, depending on when the chair of the budget subcommittee gets into town. He's got some health issues and has a doctor's appointment. So we are going to have him pick, convene the subcommittee Monday afternoon or Monday evening as soon as he physically can be here to do that. Once the revenue numbers are chosen from the revenue subcommittee, it'll be referred to the Joint Appropriations Committee to approve or make adjustments to the revenue subcommittee's recommendations. That will happen Tuesday morning. If Norm continue working on conference committees based on revenue numbers on certain bills. Senate Bill 55 is the current general bill, the current budget year that we're in. That will have to be amended up or down depending on where revenue numbers are. Revenue numbers are looking a little soft for both the current year that we're in and in the budget year that we're working in for next fiscal year. So we're not anticipating to see any growth in revenue numbers. I anticipate to see them declining from when the governor originally pitched his budget back in December. Our goal is to not cut anybody, but to reduce growth where and cause least harm. So that's kind of where we're at, but we will start those types of deliberations working through agencies, the UJS, and the governor's office in order to make sure that the priorities of the legislature are heard. I've started discussions with the Democrat caucus, whether they're House and Senate. I've asked for their input on what they want to see in the budget, whether it's for the current fiscal year for 15 and the current and the next fiscal year for 16. Conference committees next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Hopefully we'll deal with all of the spenders in both 15 or in 15 so we can make sure 15 budget is balanced before we enter and open up the general bill. We have to have all of the spending bills, whether they're current year 15 or 16, decided. Conference committees must be completed before we open the general bill. I'm hoping to be able to do that Thursday or Friday. Once we open the general bill, we do not stop. We try not to recess, and we try to run the general bill consistent straight through amendments on the general bill. And hopefully, by the end of that process, we have a balanced budget, which is mandated by the Constitution that our revenues cannot exceed our expenses. And so that process will hopefully start Thursday afternoon and Friday, depending on the conference committee schedule. I've been here before where we have recessed after we've done amendments on amendments in appropriations. We've finished doing amendments and at midnight on the last day of session, and we've recessed and come back the next day. I really hope we don't have to do that. I hope conference committees go smoothly next week. I hope revenue numbers are not going to be as down as much as I am preparing for, and hopefully things will go smooth and negotiations between the House, the Senate, the governor, and the Democrats will go as planned. So we are working on amendments today. The amendments to the general bill need to be in LRC. The ideas for the amendments to the general bill have to be into LRC to be drafted by 5 o'clock today. And hopefully from then we'll have a packet for discussion purposes next week. And hopefully that will speed up the process a little bit as well. So with that, I guess I'll turn it over to Senator Valley, and hopefully he's got better news than what I've just delivered.
Ah, She's probably going to take off on us here because she's, as you can see, got a lot of important work. But I want to thank not only her, but all the members of the Appropriations Committee, because you guys do a lot of work. They come in all through the session early in the morning. They go through every agency. They ask all kinds of questions. And we rely on them a lot. And then when it comes down here to the final week, as you can tell, they're one busy outfit. And they've got a lot of work to do and a lot of things to try and put together, because there's a lot of divergent interests out there, a lot of agencies and a lot of people that say, I just want this, I just want this. Well, everybody's wants has got to come from some particular place. So we appreciate the work you do, and hang in there.
Thanks.
We both came into the legislature at the same time 11 years ago. So we've known each other for a long time, and I just want to compliment you on
your work.
Thank
you very much. Appreciate it.
Regarding roads.
Do you want to do questions quick, and then I'll
let you do roads?
Does that work? Okay. Are there any questions on the system coming forward for the next week? And then I will head back to committee. We're working on debt collection bills right now, so I know, fun.
I just have one question. The Democrats had mentioned in the future possibly getting a third party for numbers and instead of just BFM, LRC. I know they used to have USD, someone from USD give revenue projections years ago. and just your thoughts on if that would be a good idea or...
Sure. Well, I will let you know, we do have... Just because there isn't an external third party doing a revenue number, we do have outside personnel looking at the numbers. We do have, before we used to contract with the University of South Dakota and have, now I'm going to blank on his name, an economist from the University of South Dakota, Ralph Brown, do the revenue numbers as well. Well, he's been rolled into the process. So when we met with the governor's economic advisors almost a month ago now, he was included in that process and submitted his analysis and his overarching principles as far as where he sees the U.S. economic indicators, where he sees South Dakota economic indicators. So just because we aren't contracting with the University of South Dakota at this time, we do have USD included it to a certain extent. Dr. Ralph Brown is included. And we have our resident economist on staff as well. I mean, we've got Representative Ray Ring, who I rely on quite a bit when it comes to his opinion on economic indicators and where we think we're going to go. He taught me economics. I got to imagine that what I know, he knows way better than I do because I had him as a professor. So I respect his opinion on South Dakota economic indicators. And so he's actually one of the members on the budget subcommittee to work with revenue numbers. I would say that we would need a third party, but I think the legislature is the third party. BFM puts their proposals together, LRC puts their proposals together, and the budget subcommittee and the appropriations committee, with the expertise that we've got on the committee, I think we do a really good job. Last year we came, aside from a couple of adjustments that the governor made, I know he made some points about our revenue numbers and we weren't conservative enough on our revenue numbers, but I'd argue that he brought bills and changed the way you would estimate revenue. So if you looked at without making those changes, we were within $1 million. So I think we're pretty close where we were at in December. Obviously things have changed and the economy has gone further soft since even December. So, but any other questions?
Are there any phone questions?
Yeah, Senator, this is Jerry Oster, WNAX in Yankton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So on the transportation bill, do you think, is that going to come up for a vote? What's the situation? There's a lot of mumbling around about that, maybe going back to another study.
I think I'm answering budget questions right now. I will have my counterpart, Senator Valley, talk to that question after I'm gone, if that's okay. I'm actually not involved in the transportation discussion. I have the budget to deal with. I'll let my counterpart deal with that one. Any other budget questions as far as process and everything? Otherwise, I'll make one final comment. The next week is going to be long. The Appropriations Committee, we've been here since 6 o'clock today already, working, and all week we've been working. My poor interns have been here at 6:30 in the morning all week with me. I usually have a stack of to-do lists by the time he gets in at 6:30, so they're working hard this week. Next week is not going to be any different. We're hoping to have conference committees run smooth, spending bills run smooth once revenue numbers are picked, and we're hoping to just kind of move forward and hope and pray things run smooth. That's what I'm working on right now. So making sure there's no glitches in the process. So otherwise, I'm going to head back to committee.
Any other questions?
Awesome. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the phone in?
All right. Good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. My name is Mike Valley. I'm a senator from District 20, Aurora, Girald, and Davison counties. I'm here basically to talk about transportation. And before I start out, as you'll see, I've got several things sitting in front of me here this morning. People will say, "Well, how did you in that committee?" Because I was chair of the summer committee on road needs and financing, and they says, "Well, how did you come up with these numbers? How did you come up with the needs?" And we've tried to explain that, and I thought maybe this would be a little helpful. Sometimes I'm kind of that way. A visual is always helpful. And those of you that are listening on the radio, if you can just turn on the TV or however you've got this covered, it'd be great. Because my first pile here, this is a highway needs and project analysis report. And if you go through this book, every mile of highway, state highway, is in here. Might be a 5-mile stretch, might be an 8-mile stretch, might be a 0.5-mile stretch. And then everything about that piece of road. When the last time we did something with it, whether it was an overlay, a chip seal, then all the traffic that is on that road, they analyze that. There are probably, I don't know, it looks like about 35 different lines of information on just that particular section of road. So they have gone through here, and that's how they set up, you know, when I say what the condition of our roads are today and what they project to be out in another 10 years, this is the type of information they use with that, because they have all that information is compiled in here, but it's all backed up with a lot of data. Now, not only do they keep track of it that way, but as you know, you've heard about the spider van. And that spider van is the vehicle that's got radar and sonar and a set of cameras in it. And it goes over the roads and it can tell you what kind of condition it's at then. So between those two things and knowing the traffic on that road and the condition of it and what's been done to that road and when it was done, you can give an estimation of where we're going to be at some different point in time. So that's how we came up with the Department of Transportation came up with their need. When they do that, then they come up with another book here, and this is called the STIP program. That's a statewide transportation improvement program. And this is a large document, and it goes through over 4 years. Now, the next 4 years, what their program is to work on whatever roads. And it goes section by section, and it'll tell you, you know, that from the junction of 1 mile north of whatever to wherever here, this is what we're planning on to do it. Here's when we're going to do it. Here's how much it's going to cost. They go through this whole process, and this is a book for the next 4 years. And every year, they change that. And then what they do is they come out to the state, and you'll hear this on the radio or on the TV, you know, that the DOT is going to be in this area, and they're going to be talking about their STIP program. They're planning for what we're going to do. And so if you got problems with it or you think they're doing it the wrong way, you come to that. And they have those meetings around the state. This pile here, by federal law, you have to inspect every bridge over 20 feet every 2 years. So here are all the state bridges, and here are all the local bridges that are over 20 feet. And you can go through here, and you can find each. There's a code on how you find your bridge. That goes by county, and then it goes a mile from the north and the west of each county line and says, this is where the bridge is at, and it tells you what the condition of the road is, when it was last worked, what its sufficiency rating is, and they rate it on a 100-point basis. So there's all the bridges. And from that, when we said there were 28% of our rural bridges were structurally deficient and 3% were functionally obsolete, that's where it comes from. And when this is done, it's not done by someone going out and looking at the bridge and looking down and saying, "Golly, I think that girder looks a little rusty." No. This is done by either the State Department of Transportation, or it is done by a licensed engineering firm that inspects it to certain specifications that the federal DOT has. So that's where all this information is from. And this pile over here, this is all the documents, not all of them, but a good share of the documents that we went through this summer on our summer study. We went to six different communities and we took testimony, and then we had five long meetings here in Pierre, and we went over how are they determining what their need was, and that's what's documented in this document here. So a lot of times people say, well, how did you guys come up with this, or what did you look at? Well, this gives you just a small indication of the stuff that we went through to come up with the ideas that we had for finding the need and then trying to find a way to finance it in the best way possible for the citizens of our state. And I always say, you know, when you talk about roads, if you got it, a road brought it, because there's not much that's parachuted in. And it's the backbone of our society. I don't care whether you're going to church or you're going to work or you're depending upon products or services being brought to you, it comes by road. And even if it's flown in, there has to be a dray service to get it to your house. Or if it comes by railroad, railroad doesn't stop at your house. It's on a road. So with that, the House State Affairs Committee will take up Senate Bill 1 on Monday. That is the last day that we can consider legislation. Then Tuesday, it has to go to the floor. So it will be either handled, and it'll be handled in some way in House State Affairs on Monday. This bill has passed the Senate, and as it passed the Senate, it had a 2 cent on the fuel tax, 2 cents a year for 8 years, and just have it gradually go up. And some of the thought behind that process is, as we go forward, your roads deteriorate more as time goes on. So the idea was to spread it out over time and also make it easier for our citizens. The second thing we did, and that's for our state roads, okay? And the second thing we did was the excise tax. When you buy a new vehicle, there's an excise tax on that, and it's 3%. And the idea is to take that to 4% to match our sales tax. It hasn't been raised, actually, since the mid-70s, I think. We changed the way we did it in the mid-80s, and since then it hasn't been touched. And it was put in to track the sales tax. So we don't have a sales tax on cars. We call it an excise tax. And it's, you know, when you buy a car, it's not collected when you buy the car. It's collected when you pay for your license plate and you get your registration. So we're raising that from 3% to 4%. That all goes to state roads because we felt, both the committee felt, and then when the governor came out with his plan, he also felt that this is where we have the most empirical data. This is where we have the most information that's been done by engineers. So that's why we went into those two areas, the state roads and the rural bridges. The next area we went into was the rural bridges. And you know, I've always said you can have the nicest road possible up to the creek, or you can have a washboarded, potholed piece of junk of road up to the creek. If there's no bridge, it doesn't make any difference at all. So bridges are extremely important, and I realize it costs money to go out with a grader and gravel, but a lot of work can be fixed with a grader and gravel. You can't go out and fix a bridge with a grader and gravel. So that's some of the things that we took into consideration when we put together the bridge program. And the reason we did it like we did is we set up the fund so that it would come to a fund here in Pierre, but none of that money can be used for state bridges. It's all got to go to rural bridges. And we said there are two criteria that you had to have in order to access that bridge fund. One, they had to have a wheel tax. And two, they had to have a 5-year county road plan on roads and bridges. The reason for that is a lot of them don't have a plan. And that's extremely important because you got to work with your neighboring counties. We had one county that was tearing up a gravel or an oil road and turning it back to gravel, and the next door county had just oiled it right up to that one, so there'd be a through oil road. They've got to learn to communicate with each other and have 5-year plans. So if you do that, then you can apply to the bridge fund for your bridge, and that is done on a priority basis, not a first in, first out. Right now, that's how that works. There's only $6 million in that fund, but right now it's a FIFO system, first in, first out. And if you go in there with a bridge today, I think they're projecting you've got to wait till about 2026, 2027 before your turn comes up. So we would put more money into that bridge fund, and then we would make it on a priority basis. A couple other things that we did is we went from wheels, the number of wheels that you can tax, and this is up to the county, it's local control. They can tax zero wheels or they can tax four wheels, but that was it. We said, let's allow it to go up to 12 wheels so that you can put a tax on 12 wheels. We also said that the county, in this bill, that they could raise the mill levy for a certain road and bridge fund. The money would have to go for roads and bridges, and that was up to, for counties, it was up to 1.2, and for townships, it was a half a mill. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the bill is that is going to the under SB 1. I've heard some rumors that there's going to be amendments to it. There's always amendments to everything. The last thing I will say that's in that bill is that we're going to request that the Department of Transportation, every year when they come to the both the Senate and the House Transportation Committee, they're going to say, this is where we're at today, and here's where we're going to be at in 10 years at the current funding that you have provided us and what we're getting from the federal government. Because the federal government, for our state roads, is by far our largest funding source. This is where we're going to be. Here's the goal that you had set for us, and how close are we coming to that goal? And they'll have to tell us if we're running short of that goal, this is how much money you would have to raise to do that. Then we can, then the legislature at that point can make that decision. Well, now I won't be there. I'm going to be termed out. But I want to make sure that everyone at least has that ability to say, okay, that's where we're at, and we're running short, or looks like we're on target. This is working pretty well. But so you at least know that and can plan ahead. Because that's one of the things I think that government needs to do more is be planning ahead. So that kind of gives you a heads up on where we're at, and Monday morning at 7:45, we'll be after it again.
Are there any phone name questions?
No questions? And I'm trying to remember his question.
I think it was along the likelihoods of it getting passed to me somewhere along
the You know, the likelihood of whether we're going to get something done, was that the...
Whether there'd be another summer study.
Oh, and whether it'd be another summer study. I'll take that one first, and I'll just say golly bum. We looked at it pretty thoroughly. Like I said, this is just part of the documents that come from that summer study, and we tried to not leave any stones unturned. I know one of the problems you have with all summer studies is you have 15 people on a summer study, and those 15 people really get educated. I mean, those 15 people, when we got through with it, there wasn't one of them that didn't feel there was a need and felt we had to do something. Okay, they all did. Now, where we had disagreement was how you fund that need. And the bill that came out that we had came out 12-3. So even that was, we agreed pretty much on that one. So that's one of the problems you have. You get 15 people that just know it intricately well. But then you've got to convey that knowledge to the other 90 members of the legislature. And, you know, when we get here to Pier for the legislature, we're being bombarded with just, it's amazing, all the different issues that are out there. So it's difficult to impart all this knowledge that the committee went through. Like I said, we went to 6 different communities, Yankton, Sioux Falls, Watertown, Aberdeen, Belfouche, and Rapid City. And then we had 5 very intense information-packed meetings here in Pier before we came up with our suggested bill. Now, whether we... I don't know what they would go into if there was another study. I mean, There was a lot of things that we took a look at, and you know, there are certain issues that come up, and they say, "Well, you didn't come up with anything like a toll road." Well, toll roads in rural areas just doesn't work, because what happens is you just foist the traffic onto another road. I live in Mitchell. I want to go to Sioux Falls. Let's say the toll is, I think I figure the average is somewhere on toll roads, it costs me about $16. Weather's nice, I'd say I'm not paying $16 to drive over to Sioux Falls. I'll take Highway 38. So everybody else does. What happens to Highway 38? Well, now we got to go do more repair work on Highway 38. Or you foist it off onto a county road in certain areas. Well, you know, the travel is still going to be made. So where you could probably maybe make it work is maybe I-29 going north of through Sioux Falls. People would say, you know, I'll pay not to, if I'm going over the road, I'm going from Sioux City to Fargo, I would maybe pay a few bucks just not to have to get off the interstate and go through it. And you could do that at Chamberlain on the bridge. You know, at the top of the hill, you could probably put a toll so that you couldn't get across the river. And people would just, they're stuck. They have to pay it. You know, to go around to get off on a county road at Pukwana, you're probably not just going to do that, okay? So that might work there. Other than that, you know, it's probably just not going to work. Rural areas have not found that toll roads work. So those type of things we looked at, and people still ask the question, but we went through the numbers and we went all through it. So I don't know that a study committee would turn over any stones that we didn't turn over. And then on the possibility, I you know, this is a $14 billion asset that we've been entrusted with to make sure that we keep that for the use of our citizens, and not and you know, what are our two biggest industries in this state? Number one is agriculture. Number two is tourism. What do they need? What do they need? They need roads. And what we don't need is to, you know, the numbers that came out of these studies here was, we're, I always look at what roads are poor, because when roads are poor, you reach that category, you got to dig them up and start over. And that's somewhere between $1.2 to $1.4 million a rural two-lane mile. So start adding that up when we go from 2% poor today to 25% in 10 years at the same funding we have today. Just using the same federal and state funding, that's where we end up. There are 8,200 miles of roads. So start figuring that up. That's a lot of roads at $1.2 million at today's money. Then your fair that are getting close to being poor, we only got 9% of them fair. They go to 27%. So we're going to have over half our state roads in either poor or fair condition in 10 years if we don't do anything. And we got to do something that, you know, we haven't done anything since 1999. It's the last time we touched the fuel tax. 1999. That's been 16 years ago. So we just can't put on 2 cents and say, well, that's going to do it. Because each 2 cents, each penny, raises $6.5 million. Okay, so that penny for a year will get you 5 miles of road. And we got 8,200 miles of state road. So you can start doing the math. We got to do something substantial, or we're not going to get to where we want to be. And that's what's important. And you know, like I said, we haven't raised the excise tax since the 70s, and we haven't raised the fuel tax since 1999. And that's not a reason to say we have to do it, just because we haven't, but we can show that the need is here, and it's documented. The other thing that I want to say, we're not the only one that's going that way. Last week, Iowa raised its fuel tax 10 cents a gallon. And every penny there raises $23 million. Raises $6.5 million in South Dakota, but in Iowa, it raises about $23.1 million per penny. That's a substantially amount of more money. Now, how many more roads do they have in us? Not a whole lot more state roads. We got about 8,200. I think they're about 9,800. So, you know, they got an interstate that goes across, like I-80 and 35, that goes north and south. what does South Dakota have? We got I-29 and I-90. So when you look at our interstate roads, we're probably pretty close to the same, and then our state roads. Their county road structure probably is, they probably have more oil county roads than we do. So that's just to give you a perspective. So I'm very hopeful. I mean, the need has been shown. It's there. I think if you talk to most legislators, they'll tell you, yeah, I know we got to do something, just don't know what we can do. And that's going to be the real challenge, is to try and herd us all together and come up with something and say, you know, this is where we need to be. Because we probably won't tackle it again for several years. You know, it's been 16 years since we did something for the state previously. Yes.
What's the current funding now? I know there's been amendments. It started at around $50 million. Is it still around that same $50 million number for SB1? Do you know off the top of your head, I guess?
Well, I think the first year cost is still on that 50 to, you know, a little bit more than that, 50-some million.
Okay.
I would say that's pretty close. There's a lot of amendments that are floating out there and that have been put on, and so it gets a little more difficult to judge, but I would say it's still in that range.
Okay. And last question for me anyway, are you concerned at all with the, sounds like, softening budget revenues or projections? Of course, we don't know what they are yet, but road, it's going to hurt the road funding bill. It might get passed, but maybe won't get passed at that $50 million.
You know, no, I'm really not. Those are two completely different areas. And I think people, I should have spoke to this, people need to understand that no money from the general fund budget goes to roads. So when you pay your sales tax, when you pay when the banks pay their bank franchise tax, insurance companies pay their insurance tax, all that general fund money that we have, that over little over $1 billion that we have there, none of that goes to roads. Zippo. Okay, there is some money that very, very small amount that goes to the Department of Transportation. I think it's for the aeronautics area of it. Okay, but so far as roads, we do not fund our roads from our general fund. Some states do. We do not. Now, the opposite is also true. Any money that we take from the road, whether it's the tax on fuel, the excise tax on cars, the license plate fees, all that money has to go back to the road. And it's just not something that we've decided to do now. That's in our Constitution. By Constitution, that's where it's got to go. So we've always kept those two things separate. Now, just because, as you know, the senator was talking about that we are not as bright on our expectations on at this point, and we don't have all the numbers yet, but as how much revenue we're going to have for next year. And that's not saying that things are tanking or anything like that. It's just that what we predicted at the rate of growth, we predicted it like this, and the growth is coming in a little bit less. It doesn't mean that we're going down. It's just that the rate of growth seems to be, at this point in time, to be less. And that can be of a lot of different factors. And, you know, I've always said that in South Dakota, we don't have the highs and the lows in our economy. So we didn't go as deep during the recessions, and we're probably not going to go catch up near as fast either. We pulled out of the recession great. I think we were like the one or two states in the nation that came out of the recession so well. So you can't expect then that growth to, you know, it probably is going to settle back just a bit, but that should not affect what our thought process is on what we need to do for our roads. And probably the opposite. If we end up with not good roads in the state, you're going to see agriculture and tourism being affected. And so we just can't have that. Other questions?
Are there any phoned-in questions?
Senator, just a question with regards to, you had noted there were some rumors on amendments. Can you maybe give us some information on what they are, and can you discuss what may be coming in House State Affairs?
I'm going to have to say, if you know what they are, I'd like to know, because I'll be testifying, and I hate to be blindsided. I really don't know. I mean, and the rumors are actually third and fourth and fifth hand. And you know how that goes. When we used to do that when we were kids, we'd start a whisper in one person's ear and go around to the other end of the table and see what it said, and it got to the other end, and it was completely different. And so I'm not going to jump out and try and speculate on what may or may not happen. So if someone else has been here previously, has come up with some ideas, or if you've heard of some amendments, would sure like to see it. Because one of the things that I will say, I know there has been some talk that the 2 cents a year for 8 years, or the 16 cents by the time we get way out to 2023, is that some people were struggling with that. And they said they wanted to do more for rural. And that's one of the problems. If you cut back on the state, on the amount of money the state has, the state is sharing money with our local people. So you're going to find that there's going to be a problem if the state doesn't have money. Their ability to share is going to be diminished considerably. Now, the first year, let's say, on the swap program probably wouldn't be affected, but future years after that, if we don't put money in or have enough from that point in time, you're going to see that it's going to be difficult for them to go with that swap program. And you talk to counties and townships and communities and townships, you know, that swap program has really been a bonus to them, especially counties. And the other thing is, you know, the governor and his bill, and that's carried forward over into this one, was he had the state DOT put in an additional $2 million for the bridge program. The state already takes $6 million, which it doesn't have to, but it always has. There used to be in federal law, they gave about $6 million could be used for county bridges. The feds took that out in their most recent bill, but the state DOT says we're gonna take $6 million of the dollars we get, and we're gonna just keep it there for the rural area. And then the governor says in our bill we're gonna require them to put in another $2 million. Well, you can't keep taking away then from the state government. That was when the governor had a 2 cent one from now till eternity, which I think that was going to be subject to being amended, and it was. But if you can't keep taking away from the state, they're not going to be able to do those types of things. You know, they also help in the road striping on county roads. They also help with the rural economic development roads. And it's just going to make funds tight for them to be able to do those things. So please remember that when you're talking about cutting back on the state funding, you're also going to be hurting the rural funding, because their first priority is our state roads. And 67, nearly 70% of the traffic in this state is on our state roads. About another 14% is on county, another 14% on municipal, and about 3% on township roads. But those are averages. I think it's 67-68% for the state roads. So, but I really don't have. I'm hearing fifth hand rumors of, and a lot of them are things that have been out there before. You know, I heard one time someone was talking about a diesel tax again, and that's been long left behind, but some people still like that idea. I think some of them might deal with license plate funding. I've heard there is in the bill as it's currently written, we go up 10%. And then we, Representative Warner had a deal where it's going to be, it's a stepped up deal, but every year it would amount to an average of $1.20 a plate. There's an amendment that would make that just straight $5 up front, and just carry through every year, but it would not increase every year. It would just be that 10% increase plus the $5, and that would carry out, and that would go to the locals, and that's a huge benefit. So I'm hopeful that will come up. I've heard some increases. I think people like the idea of counties being able to raise it from 4 wheels up to 12, and I've heard that, you know, that's $4 a wheel. I've heard something that maybe they'll go another dollar. Might be an amendment to do that, and I have no problem with that. That's local control. I've heard some talk on the limiting the amount of the property tax that the locals can increase depending upon what the total valuation of the county is, you know, whether it's below $1 billion, between $1 and $2 billion, or over $2 billion, and limit that in some way of how much you could then levy. I've heard that, I've heard that being rumored around. So there's some out there. I can't tell you. That's the ones that I've heard of that I guess would I heard probably from only second hand or third hand, not fifth or sixth.
Are there any more phone-in questions?
I guess I just end. I would encourage your legislator to support this. And the reason I say that is this is a multifaceted bill. And I've had other bills that have been tough to work through the legislature. But when you're doing with a multifaceted bill that affects everyone, everybody drives or rides in a car. Everybody buys license plate. Everybody buys gasoline. So everybody has an opinion on how to make it work. And that's why we spent so much time sifting through that this summer. And that's why all these documents are so important. It's because that's the analytical data that we came up with. And listen, I'm not going to get everything that I wanted on that committee or that I want here. But I'm also feel that we have to work together to come up with the best possible. And I'm telling folks, if we don't get everything we want, let's not be in the position of saying, no, I'm going to take my marbles and go home. And we can't do that. Our friends in D.C. do that, and we don't end up with anything. Their funding of our roads and bridges has been pathetic in the way they've handled it. And they can do it. They can borrow. The state of South Dakota cannot borrow, and we cannot print money. So we have, the only money we have is that we get from you, and we have to keep up our probably our largest state asset, and that's our road. So I just encourage you to support your legislator, and it's not going to be easy for them. Thank you.